wash away my sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow. That makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Because the blood of Jesus is enough for me. Oh, the blood. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Because the blood.
Because the blood of Jesus is enough for me. Oh, the blood of Jesus is enough.
Sing that again. Because the blood.
Because the blood of Jesus is enough for me. Oh, the blood of Jesus is enough. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the
up a little bit more. Thank you on the drums. Let's dive back in.
We're reaching out to welcome you, God. Fill this place again with your song. Flood our thoughts with wonder and awe. Give us a greater glimpse of a never-changing God.
Sing all we want.
All we want and all we need is found in you, is found in you. Jesus, every victory is found in you, is found in you. Our hearts now to yours. Every fear bow down to your love. That we would see like never before. Give us a greater glimpse of a never changing God.
Yeah.
All we want is freedom. In your presence we are made whole. In your presence there is freedom. And in your presence we are made whole.
Let's go, sing it out.
Is found in you, is found in you, Jesus. Every victory is found in you, is found in you. All we want and all we need is found in you, is found in you, Jesus. Every victory is found in you, is found in you.
We're going to hit you guys with a new one, so y'all just buckle up, pay attention to the screens, and hopefully it translates. This one's kind of about the journey of life and how God meets you where you are. Sometimes it's messy. It doesn't mean you're not going to be carrying burdens or confront hardship or even have depression. But somehow God meets you right there in the thick of it. And he shows you the light. He shows you the way and he says, it's okay, I got you.
Wandering into the night, wanting a place to hide this weary soul. This bag of bones, and I try with all my might, but I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting, a vagabond, and just when I ran out of road, I met a man I didn't know. And he told me that I was not alone. He picked me up, turned me around, he placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because you heal my heart, you change my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God. Oh, I cannot deny what I've seen. Got no choice but to believe. My doubts are burned like ashes in the wind. Feel so long to my old friend. Burden and bitterness, you can just keep it moving. Nah, you ain't welcome here. From now till I walk streets of gold, I sing of how you saved my soul. This wayward son has found his way back. Change my name, forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God.
We're going to proclaim this next part. exclamation of joy.
Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am.
Let's lift our hands and sing. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free.
Hell lost another one.
The goodness of God.
And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am in, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
We're going to transition into a time of reading real fast. We're going to read from a scripture in Psalm. I believe it's Psalm 100. I don't have it here, but it's up on the screen. So, fantastic. I'd like to remind you there's nothing wrong with waiting on the Lord. Sometimes he tests us with practice and patience. So here it is. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Psalm 100. That's verses 4 through 5. We're going to pray now. We're going to have a focus around that psalm and just shifting our hearts to the right spot. So if you would bow your heads with me. Lord, thank you for giving us this time that we can praise your name and worship you for who you are. Not for what you've done for us or what's going right in our lives or what's going wrong, but simply just to lift your name on high that all would see and all would know that you are Lord. Lord, we also know that your love abounds, and if we feel distant or we feel like we've made a lot of mistakes and, you know, depression creeps in and we feel these really negative thoughts, God, that isn't from you. Lord, I pray that any burdens that we're carrying, we would cast them down in front of you at your feet. And Lord, you would help us. You would embolden us to live the way that you have told us to live, the way that we know we should be living. And Lord, I pray that we would feel your love in this place. We would feel your love in the car. We would feel you at home. We would know your presence, and we would respond to it. But unfortunately, Lord, some of us, we get caught up in our lives, and I pray that right now we would redirect our hearts, we would open our minds to receive what you have for us this morning. Jesus, we love you, and we pray all this in your name. Amen.
Every year on Thanksgiving, we're reminded that gratitude is a decision that we continue to make. There are many things that are out of our control. The children won't stop getting older. The headlines keep getting crazier. The Christmas advertisements keep starting earlier and earlier every single year. The world around us is always changing, and there's a lot that we don't get to decide. But gratitude is a decision that we continue to make. So let's decide to keep opening our doors. Let's decide to set the table and join hands. Let's decide that no matter what comes, our words to Jesus will always be thank you.
Well, Santa Claus has an aura around him. He does. He has an aura around him. And so we often are able to pick out Santa when we see him, you know, in a store or something, because he's got the red suit on with the white little puffy, you know, cuffs or whatever. He's got the hat on and the black belt and the black boots, and we can usually pick him out just by the clothes he's wearing. But he has an aura about him. He's got a personality that he oftentimes, he's very gregarious. He's very loud and just very fun. He loves to laugh. His signature laugh is the ho ho ho. You know, and it's just, he's got that fun kind of a personality. And so we can often see and identify Santa in movies and different things, even if he doesn't have the suit on. Because there's just an aura about him. You know, if you see him and he has an opportunity to talk to a little kid, he runs over and he wants to talk to the kid. That's Santa. That's who Santa is. That's kind of how you can tell who Santa is. And so when it comes to Santa, we have this way of seeing his aura. We can tell that's going to be Santa. We know that. But when it comes to people who call themselves believers, they will tell others, hey, I have an intimate relationship with God because of my relationship with Christ. People like that, they don't always have an aura that you can tell from the outside. People in our culture will often say, I'm not sure if a Christian is someone who's supposed to be joyful and merry and happy, or if a Christian is someone who's supposed to be somber and angry. Like, they don't know. What is a Christian supposed to, what is their aura supposed to look like? And they when they think of Christians, they have this perception, but they don't know. They're like, I'm not really sure. Is a Christian somebody who's supposed to be very gracious and very thankful for everything that's going around them? Or are those Christians, are they people that are just feeling entitled? And the problem is that when humanity looks at people who call themselves Christians, they don't know what their aura is. What are they supposed to find when they run into a Christian? What are they supposed to see? What is the personality, or what is the way that person is kind of exuding themselves? How is that supposed to look? We know when it comes to Santa, we know he's jovial and laughing and all of that. But when it comes to Christians, we don't always know what is the aura of a Christian. What is the aura of a person who claims to have an intimate relationship with God? What is their aura? And why that's so important for us to think about. What is the answer to that question? Why that's so important is because for people who are new to the faith, people who have just recently believed, they're embarking on a brand new relationship with God. But they don't know what a lot of that means. They know their old life is going away and they're pursuing a new life, but they don't know, what does that mean? How do I react when something happens, good or bad? They don't know. And so what they do is they look at the people around them who call themselves Christians and say, okay, that must be how I'm supposed to handle it. People that are growing, they get to the point in their life where they discover something. They might be reading the Bible on their own, or they hear something in a sermon and they're like, whoa, this is really exciting. But they don't know what to do with that. They're not sure, like, what am I supposed to do with that? Am I supposed to tell people, or am I not supposed to tell people? Is it okay to be excited, or is it not okay? They don't know. And so what they do is they look at other people that they think are Christians and they say, okay, how would they handle it? That aura that believers give off is really important, because that's how other people pick up how they should live. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want to ask the question, what should a believer's aura be? How should their disposition, how should it be? And we're going to look at the answer to that in our study in the book of 1 Thessalonians. If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians. It's in the New Testament. If you didn't bring your Bible, it's okay. There's a pew Bible there in front of you. And we're in the book of 1 Thessalonians. And we've been working our way through 1 Thessalonians, and we've come towards the end of the book. And typically in these letters, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, these human authors are writing and they give like a rapid fire command, a set of commands about how people should live. And that's where we're going to be today. We're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to verse 16 to 18, and we're going to see three things that people are commanded to do. And when we look at these things that were talked about that we should be doing, you start to get a picture in your mind of what a believer should look like, what their aura should be, how they should be functioning in this world, and how people should perceive them. And we're going to see that as we look at these three verses, that a believer's aura, first of all, should be joyful. Second of all, it should be prayerful. And third, it should be thankful. And we'll talk about each of those three, and I'll develop them a little bit so you can understand what that's supposed to look at. And the idea here is to help us to understand, even if we're doing it right, but if we're not doing it right, how we need to change so that our aura, the aura that we give off as a believer, if that's true of us, is reflective of the way that the Lord wants us to live. And so the point this morning is not to make anyone feel guilty. Say, hey, you're doing this wrong. That's not the point. The point is to say, okay, this is what we're heading towards. This is what we all want to be striving towards. This is what we're trying to achieve. And so we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 and 18 to find that. And the first thing that we're going to see is that the believer's aura is joyful. Now, what is going to be true for us and that is going to be important to remember is that joy is one of those emotions that is expressed out. It goes out. It's something that you can see from the outside. People are either hyper or they're excited. There's an obvious something joyful going on in a person's life. And so we say it's you glow. When you've got joy, you're kind of a person who's glowing. So verse 16 says this: rejoice always. Rejoice always. Rejoice is a command we don't often hear in normal conversation today. We don't tell people to rejoice. And so it might not be totally familiar to you what is being talked about there. But the idea of rejoicing is to be joyful or to be happy, to have an upbeat type of a perspective. If you look at the way that the word is translated in some of the secular material, they use the word merry. It's sometimes used someone who's merry. But it has this idea of being joyful, of being happy and having a very similar, like you would think of Santa Claus, just a very joyful person. And so the command here is rejoice always. The idea is to do this at all times. Maybe not every single moment, because it might be tough when things are difficult, but in the big picture of your life, being joyful should be the aura. It should be part of your aura. The aura should be to be joyful. So it says, rejoice always. And that is the instruction here, is that the believer's aura should be joyful. Now, when you think about the character Santa Claus. Now, we often think of him as a joyful character. And the reality is that he is often portrayed as very joyful. I was watching some video clips from the Miracle on 34th Street, and it was the trial setting, and the judge, Santa Claus is on trial for being Santa Claus, if you don't know the story, and there's a boy that's on was it in the witness stand, and the judge asked him, or one of the attorneys asked him, the boy, he said, hey, is that man over there, is he Santa Claus too? And the boy says, no, he's got a grumpy face. You know, it was just a funny thing. It was a funny reaction, and the court laughs. But the idea is that we know when we think about Santa, Santa's always joyful. He's got this joyful perspective about things. And that is the image of a believer, is someone who is joyful, who has joy in their life. And so the command here is rejoice always, to always have that sense of joy. And the idea that, or the challenge for you to do, is one of the things I want to challenge you to do is to memorize this verse. It's a very easy verse to memorize because it's just two words. But it's a powerful reminder to us of the importance of being joyful. Being joyful is a part of what the Lord wants for us and the way our disposition is to be. So the first thing we see is what is a believer's aura supposed to be? Their aura is supposed to be joyful. The second thing we see is that prayerful. Look with me at verse 17. Now, when we often think about prayer, we often think about our lists that we've given to that we pray to God of the things we want. But prayer is a conversation. In the truest sense of the word, prayer is a conversation. It's more than just a list of the things that we think we need. So verse 17 says this, pray without ceasing. Pray, be involved in that conversation with the Lord. More than just the list, pray without ceasing. Don't allow that behavior to stop. Be in constant conversation with the Lord. Now this verse and this command has really given people trouble through the years, because oftentimes people think of prayer as a list of things that they put on a piece of paper and they write out all of these things that they want to ask the Lord for. And so it's a little difficult for them to think, how do I do that all day long? Do I pray through the list and then I pray through the list and then I pray through the list? And we have trouble with this understanding of praying without ceasing, because how do I keep telling God all of the things I want? And a little bit of that is because we don't understand the true nature of prayer. Prayer is a conversation. Prayer is a conversation between a human and the supreme God of the universe. It includes, at times, our list giving to God of the things that we think we need. That's part of it, but that's not the whole of it. The reality is that prayer is something that continues and can and should continue throughout the day, because it's not a matter of just disclosing what we want from God. It's a conversation that we're having with God throughout the day. To help illustrate this, I want to think about, if you think about Santa Claus. Now, I don't know if you realize this or not, but Santa Claus has a naughty list and a good list. So his ability to know things. But yet each year, he still wants kids to write out a list and send it to him of the things that they want for Christmas. Why does he need that list? He needs that list because mom and dad need to know what they want for Christmas. And so there's an ulterior motive behind the communication with Santa about the things that we ask for. And the same thing is the truth. It's the same dynamic with prayer. There are other things that are going on. Our communication with God is not simply just communicating what we need, but there are other things that are being accomplished in our prayer. And so we're to pray continually, without ceasing. Let that become a part of your life. It's something that you do throughout the day, not something that you just do at a certain time. And one of the things I want to challenge you with, and if you don't already do this, it's a really good habit to get into. And the habit to get into that I'm challenging you with is, in the mornings, when you wake up, maybe you're having your cup of coffee or some kind of time that's quiet before everybody else gets up and running around, challenge you to start your prayer time there. Start your prayer time in the morning. And the reason, if you get in the habit of doing that, then later on in the day when something comes up and you want to pray about it, instead of it being the first time you've talked to God that day, you're continuing the conversation that you had with him earlier in the morning. And then as you go move later into the day and there are other things that you come up and you have another prayer with him and you're talking to him about the things, it becomes a conversation that you've been having with him all day since the morning. And that's why it's so critical to start the day with just a short time of prayer, just saying, okay, God, we're going to walk through this day together. Let's do this together. So what is the believer's aura supposed to be? First of all, they're supposed to be joyful. Second of all, they're supposed to be prayerful. And the idea is that constant relationship with the Lord. And the last thing is, in verse 18, is thankful. And so in verse 18 says this, in everything, or in all types of situations, give thanks. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Verse 18 says, in everything, in all the different types of things that you are involved in your life, in all of those different things, give thanks. Express gratitude to the Lord for the things that you are that he has done in your life. Give thanks in everything. And a very interesting pronoun there says, for this This is a singular pronoun, and I'll talk to you about that here at the end, but I want to point out here that there's been three commands: rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. And then he says, for this, it's a singular pronoun. He says, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. These three things together are something that the Lord desires for you to have a part of your life. That this aura, this way in which you function, it is his desire that that aura is made up of those three things. And the last thing is that you're thankful. You have thanks that you give to God. Oftentimes, when kids are in the home, we'll put out cookies and milk for Santa on Christmas Eve, and we put them out on the table. And the idea is that Santa will get those cookies and they'll get that milk when he comes to deliver the gifts. And what that is an expression of gratitude. That's an expression of gratitude, like, thank you, Santa, for bringing me all these gifts. That's an expression of gratitude. And we understand that concept when it comes to Christmas and when it comes to Santa. But the idea here from this verse is that gratitude, that attitude, that gratitude towards God is something that's supposed to be a trademark of our lives. Our lives are supposed to be a life of gratitude to God for the things that he's done for us. The challenge that I have for you is this, is I want to challenge you going forward a bit in the next 2 weeks. I want to challenge you to set aside some time, and this will take some time to do. I want to challenge you to set aside some time, and I want you to write out 100 things that you are thankful for. That's going to be quite a list. So give yourself some time. It'll take some time to generate this list, but put together a list of the 100 things that you are thankful for. And as you put this list together, one thing that you'll find, it's not weird, is the first 20 or 25 things to come up with are pretty easy. But then you start getting into a little more difficulty and you have to search a little harder. But look through the areas of your life and think through, what are the areas in my work? My work situation may not be perfect, but what are some things that I can thank the Lord for here? Your family situation may not be perfect, but what are some things you can thank the Lord for in your family? And you look at your friends, and you look at all the different parts of your life, and see if you can generate a list of 100 things that you are thankful for. And the idea behind this is, as you generate that list, as you really comb through your life, one of the things that you're going to find is that you have an incredible long list of things to be thankful for. There are so many things in our lives. We are very blessed. A lot of times we're so busy and we're moving, and we don't really think about it. But if we slow ourselves down and we think through the things, this will give us an opportunity to see how we can be thankful for all the many, many things that the Lord has given us. So what is that aura supposed to look like? What is our aura supposed to be if we are a believer? That aura is, first of all, supposed to be joyful. Think of jovial old Saint Nick and how he's just got this really fun, happy, merry perspective. And that is the aura that is designed to be, is spoken to be about believers. They should have a joyful disposition. Second of all, the disposition should be prayerful. Not necessarily prayerful and always asking God for something that you want, but in a conversation that is ongoing throughout the day, having that conversation with the Lord, being in an intimate relationship with the Lord to the extent that that relationship marks your life. And the last thing is to be thankful. To be thankful for the things that the Lord has done for you. To be a person who is thankful. And that aura is something that will be very, very helpful for the people around us. They look at us and they see us exemplifying those three characteristics. They will be able to identify us as a believer. They'll say, yep, that guy, that girl, that lady is a believer because those attributes are going on in their life. The aura of Saint Nick has changed. Over the last 200 years, the image of who Santa Claus is has changed. His suit has changed colors. His weight, his waist size has changed. Over the time period of the last couple hundred years, the image, the aura of Santa Claus has changed. And the reason that that has changed is because the story that we believe about what Santa does and doesn't do has changed as well. We've kind of come up with this idea, we can't have a super skinny Santa Claus if he goes into everybody's houses on Christmas Eve and eats millions of cookies and drinks millions of cups of milk. He can't be a skinny Santa Claus. So in our minds, we've morphed this image of who Santa Claus is based upon the story. And so now kids hear the story of Santa. And they know what he is and what he's about because of the way he functions. And the same thing is true for believers. The people in our lives, the people at work, the people at school, the people at the gas station, the people at the grocery store, they begin to understand who God is and they understand what it means to be a believer when they see how our lives are lived out in a way that the Lord wants it to be. And so we see that what the Lord wants us to do is he wants us to have a joyful attitude. The Lord wants us to have a prayerful attitude. And the Lord wants us to have a thankful attitude. And so this morning, I want to challenge you. I'm going to give you this challenge over the next 2 weeks to come up with a list of 100 things that you're thankful for. And I think this is so important. This is such an important thing for you to do. I'm gonna put a reward out there for you. So if in the next 2 weeks, if you'll show me your list of 100 things that you're thankful for, I will give you a hug. I'll give you a hug, okay? We've been talking about hugs the last couple weeks, so I'll give you a hug. Okay, so the idea here is that I really want to challenge you to do that, but here's the reason why I think the list is so critical. Back in verse 18, it's a singular pronoun. And I think that the reason why that is because the three commands are actually related. And what happens is, this is my hunch, and I've been trying it over this past week, and it seems to work. My hunch is this: if we begin by being thankful, and we really spend a lot of time being thankful, one of the things that happens is we enter into a more intimate relationship with the Lord because he's been so good to us. And when we spend a lot of time in our relationship with the Lord, something that happens is we start to feel joy because we've spent time with the Lord. And so in order to get this process started, and I think that's the point of the singular pronoun, in order to get this process started, I want to challenge you to begin being thankful. The timing of this couldn't be more perfect because we're coming into Thanksgiving. So everybody's going to be thinking about Thanksgiving things anyways. So take the challenge over the next 2 weeks and come up with 100 things that you're thankful for. And my hunch is that as you do that, it's going to draw you closer into our relationship with the Lord, and it's going to draw you into a more joyful lifestyle because of what you see the Lord doing in and around your life. Bring me the list next week, and I'll give you a hug. We're going to move now into the time of communion. If you didn't receive one of these disposable communion cups on your way in, just go ahead and raise your hand. We have a person or two who'll be happy to give those to you. And what we're doing with this is a time for those people who have entered into a personal relationship with the supreme God of the universe because of what Jesus did on the cross. And what Jesus did on the cross is something that is a gift to us. It's not something that we earned. It's not something that we deserve. It's a true gift from God. And so this is an opportunity, in a way, for us to not only remember what Jesus did for us, but to express our gratitude to him for that. And there's two parts. The first part is the bread, and that's the time period where we remember that Jesus was willing to allow himself to be crucified, to be beat and killed and hung on a cross. And in so doing, what he did is he earned for the people who would believe the opportunity to have their sins completely forgiven. And so, quoting from, paraphrasing from 1 Corinthians, says this, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took some bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And then he concluded with, "For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again."
Well, church, as we conclude our service, we just have a few short announcements. Again, this week for Operation Christmas Child, if you have any time to volunteer or maybe want to drop off a box, please see the table back there for a little bit more information, or see Gail if you have any questions. Poinsettias or poinsettias will be available for order. It'll be $20 this week and next week. Again, see the bulletin for a little bit more information on that if you have any questions. Next week, we're going to be having a little bit of filming going on during the service. Just disregard it, continue in worship, pretend like it's not there, shouldn't be disruptive or anything like that. And also, next week, we will be having two baptisms, very exciting for Andrea and Melody. If you, hands waving, really excited for it, please be sure to be there as we rejoice their baptisms. Also, if you've never been baptized and you like to be, please talk to Pastor Forrest. Maybe try to find a time so we can do that. Also, on the backside of your bulletins, you can find a few different ways to give, whether in person or online. We encourage you to give generously, as the Lord has given us all so generously as well. And, you know, as I was listening to the sermon, a thought kind of came into my mind. We have Christmas. We celebrate the birth of Christ. We have Good Friday and Easter. We celebrate the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ. But we don't know when he will return, and 1 Thessalonians talks about that a lot. So in many ways, we're celebrating that holiday every day as we continue to be joyful, prayerful, and thankful. Would you please pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the freedom for us to gather together in your worship. Lord, please strengthen us as we seek to be joyful, to find our joy in you and you alone, not in the things of this world, which are so passing and fleeting. Lord, please help us to be prayerful as we seek to talk to you, to understand your word, to bring our petitions to you, to praise you. And Lord, we pray that we would be thankful, knowing how much you have given us, that you sent your son to die for us, and you provide for our daily needs each day. Lord, please sanctify your church. And we pray this all in your son's holy and precious name. Amen. Thank you. Have a good week.